Hello, and welcome to the weekly FGM TV News Review. On January the 21st, 2003, I'm Susan Mitchell. In this week's update from China, 557 Falun Gong practitioners are confirmed to have died from torture while in custody, with six death reports received in the last week. Reliable sources inside China, however, put the actual death count in the thousands. In the last 7 days, torture reports have come in from 12 provinces, with numerous reports from Liaoning province and also from the cities of Beijing and Nanjing. 587 people declared statements made as a result of torture to be void. Now that their minds are clear, they say they will continue practicing Falun Gong. Our top story this week, an update on the class action lawsuit in which practitioners of Falun Gong are suing former Chinese dictator Jiang Zemin for genocide. And some of our other stories. Police use glowing hot screwdrivers to brand a senior citizen who was arrested for exposing Chinese government propaganda. China blocks another popular internet website. Continuing coverage from around the world of Falun Gong practitioners appealing for an end to the killing in China. Introducing Falun Dafa to cities and towns in Queensland, Australia. And Christine Loftus interviews award-winning Canadian actor Michael Mahonan. First, our top story. We have an update on the class action lawsuit in which practitioners of Falun Gong are suing former Chinese dictator Jiang Zemin for genocide. The U.S. District Court of the Northern District of Illinois granted all of the plaintiffs' requests at the hearing on January 13, 2003. Seven Falun Gong practitioners filed the lawsuit on behalf of themselves and the class they represent. Jiang and the Gestapo-like 610 office he created specifically to carry out the persecution is accused of crimes against humanity, torture, improper execution and death, and genocide. Even though Jiang is a head of state, international law, such as the Convention Against Genocide, specifically exempts him from immunity for the atrocities performed under his rule. These are alleged to include subjecting practitioners to electric shocks, placing them in water dungeons, sleep deprivation, placing perfectly healthy practitioners in mental hospitals, injecting them with mind-altering drugs, and causing severe psychological damage. Reliable third-party reports substantiate the plaintiff's claims, including the United States Department of State Annual Report on International Religious Freedom for 2001, the United States Government Report on Human Rights Practices, the U.S. Annual Report on International Religious Freedom, and reports by NGOs such as Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch. FGM-TV will keep you informed about this groundbreaking lawsuit. Because China has no Bill of Rights and no freedom of the press, people there have to risk arrest to find out about this lawsuit, which brings us to our next story. According to a report from Reuters, China has blocked an internet site called blogspot.com, which is used by more than 1 million people worldwide. People post online diaries called blogs on this website. Blogs are simply people's thoughts written up for others to read. When a ruling party wants to control the thoughts and beliefs of its citizens at all costs in order to maintain its stranglehold on all positions of power, I guess the thoughts of individuals can be pretty dangerous. Internet police number 40,000 in Beijing alone. The web police barred the site by blocking its internet protocol address, which is like cutting a phone line. Because blogspot.com is such a popular site, the blocking has caused a huge uproar. Authorities in China have blocked other sites, including dissident groups and foreign news organizations like The Washington Post, The New York Times, The BBC, Voice of America, and the National Endowment for Democracy. Anyone who's discovered accessing these sites is arrested for violating the law. So, bloggers, beware. Police brand a senior citizen with glowing hot screwdrivers. We've received a report from Hunan province that police agents Mr. Zhe He Yu and Mr. Wen Hua Zhao have been torturing Falun Gong practitioners for more than 3 years in Yueyang City. Included in the list of 11 names is 62-year-old Mr. Ji Chuan Luo, who was severely injured when police hung him in the air until his feet did not touch the floor, and then they branded him in 48 places on his stomach, chest, and back with two glowing hot screwdrivers, which had been heated on a 2,000-watt electric stove. In a similar case, in June of 2001, Mr. Yongjie Tan escaped from a labor camp where he had been branded. After making his way to Hong Kong, he hid in a container ship bound for the USA. He eventually reached Houston, Texas, where his burns, some reaching deep into the muscle tissue, were treated in hospital. Although his body remains seriously scarred, he has since recovered. Continuing appeals against 43 new torture deaths confirmed since November 1, 2002. In a worldwide public awareness campaign of the increasing genocide in China, we have more photos and footage of appeals that were held in front of Chinese embassies and consulates around the world. Participating countries include Australia, Austria, Canada, Denmark, England, France, Germany, Holland, Hong Kong, Ireland, Italy, Macau, New Zealand, Norway, Poland, Spain, Sweden, and many cities from the east to the west coasts of the USA. Since November 1, 2002, 43 new torture deaths have been confirmed. However, Chinese government sources say that for every report of wrongful death, as many as three others go unreported. Falun Gong practitioners are asking that these cases be investigated and the perpetrators be stopped and punished to the full extent of the law. Three-day vigils were held in Chicago and London, England. Falun Dafa practitioners from Chicago and the entire Midwestern United States gathered in front of the Chinese embassy on Dearborn Street for a three-day vigil, calling for an end to the torture and murder of Falun Gong practitioners in China. Starting at 10 a.m. on January the 12th, 2003, they joined practitioners from 60 countries all over the world, responding to the reported deaths of 43 practitioners since November the 1st. Together, they called for an end to the atrocities. Voicing the understanding of good people everywhere, they pointed out that the persecution of people who have righteous beliefs will never succeed. Why? Because coercion can't change people's hearts. Also, from January the 12th to the 14th, practitioners gathered for a similar vigil in front of the Chinese embassy in London, England. On all previous occasions, when practitioners held a press conference, the embassy would use loudspeakers to drown them out, annoying the entire neighborhood with their noise. Even the police complained. At this press conference, however, they were silent. The practitioners found out why when they aimed their video camera at an open window in the embassy. A staff member was videotaping the practitioners. Everyone understood immediately why the pictures were being taken. They would be identified and added to the blacklist the Chinese government keeps in order to restrict practitioners' freedom, to keep them out of countries where they reveal the truth about the persecution to people and to governments, and to threaten and persecute their families still in China. Yet, knowing the underhanded purpose of the embassy, the practitioners never wavered in their peaceful appeal. If the persecution of people who have righteous beliefs will never succeed, then can righteous beliefs put an end to this inhumanity? We know that it will, and that it's only a matter of time. Queensland, Australia learns of the benefits and the persecution of Falun Gong. Falun Gong practitioners traveled along the east coast of Queensland, Australia, introducing members of parliament, town councillors, and the community to Falun Dafa's many benefits and to make them more aware of the violent persecution against innocent practitioners in China. They participated in the Wild Scotchman Festival at Gingin, the week-long Harbour Festival at Gladstone, and visited five other nearby cities and towns. With a mini photo display of the journey of Falun Dafa, they joined street parades and shared flyers with hundreds of parade onlookers at Gingin and Gladstone. All libraries were presented with Falun Gong books and exercise videos. The Gladstone City Library, in return, hosted a week-long display. Making a 5 to 7 hour round trip in one day, Practitioners from Southeast Queensland supported the group. Four practitioners from the Bowen District continued contact with government officials in the Townsville-Thuringowa areas, sending holiday greeting cards, CDs of Falun Gong music, and information on the global campaign to rescue practitioners' family members in China. A human rights group reports on the arrest of underground church members and their leader. According to the U.S.-based group Human Rights in China, on December 8, 2002, Shanghai police broke into the home of Mr. Guo Xing Xu, leader of an underground Christian church, and arrested him along with more than 20 members of his congregation. During the raid, police confiscated printed materials, tapes, and a computer. Mr. Xu was sentenced to 18 months in prison. All others arrested were released. The report said that Mr. Xu had previously served more than 6 years in a labor camp for defying government regulations against unofficial worship. China officially allows religious activities if they are registered with the state as patriotic organizations, but millions worship at unofficial, mainly evangelical Christian churches. A Journey of Falun Dafa photo exhibition is held in the Connecticut Legislative Office Building. On January 13, 2003, Falun Dafa practitioners held a news conference to open an exhibit at the Legislative Office Building of Connecticut. Practitioners and state assemblymen called upon people from all walks of life to help stop the killing of Falun Gong practitioners by the Jiang regime in China. They also urged people to use all lawful ways to obtain the release of Falun Gong family members detained in China. Attendees were also informed about the recent lawsuit in the U.S. charging former Chinese dictator Jiang Zemin for genocide against Falun Gong. At the end of the news conference, a film explaining some of the facts of the illegal persecution was shown. Over the 15 days of the exhibition, many government employees and visitors to Connecticut will learn about Falun Dafa and the unjust persecution in China. Practitioners of Falun Gong come from a variety of backgrounds and professions. Michael Mahonan, an award-winning Canadian actor, best known for his portrayal of Gus Pike on CBC's award-winning series Road to Avonlea, is a practitioner of Falun Gong who's been using his skills to help create truth-clarifying videos and documentaries. Christine Loftus recently met with him.
Hi, Michael. Hi. Thank you for meeting with us today. I understand that you spend a lot of your spare time in a rather unique way to try to reveal to the public what's presently happening in China. Could you tell us a little bit about what it is you've been doing?
Well, I've been volunteering my time, like all the other practitioners, to make film and television projects. There's a TV team, and the purpose is to make these projects to reveal the truth of the persecution to the people in China, and that's been done. We're doing that through, we're making some documentaries that show that it's practiced around the world, and it's freely practiced and embraced and awarded, and also that the persecution that's occurring in China is much more severe than the people in China are actually allowed to know, even in their own country. But in the outside world, we have a lot of information about that, and we would just like to let them know through these film and TV productions that these things are indeed going on, and that the practice is embraced around the world.
So what is it that you hope to achieve through these videos then?
Well, what we hope to do is to allow the Chinese people to see what they're not allowed to see, because they have a blockage of information in their country. And I've been practicing Falun Gong for 2 years now, and I know it's a very good practice. It's practiced in almost 60 countries now, but the only place you can't practice it is in China. And they don't know the truth about the practice because the information they've been getting from their newspapers and their television and their radio is not the truth of the persecution itself in their own country, or the situation that's going on around the world, which is that Falun Gong is widely accepted.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Christine. And thanks, everyone, for watching the FGM TV Weekly News Review. See you next week.